us away. Lucas away. Oh yes, push Lucas away. It's the fucking day trippers. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, of a on a night of ostracization. Yeah, it's the Lucas chat. So as we said, yeah, we're pushing Lucas away. Push, 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 push him away. So let's get it on and get it on indeed. Well, we looked a team again, but we didn't manage to win. Who cares? It's great to feel great about a performance again. Keep it coming, big boys. Keep it coming, especially that midfield. Trev's dead, for those who keep asking. Stop asking me. I'm getting pissed off with it. All we get on the timeline is, when is Trev coming back? When is Trev coming back? He's not. He's gone. Get over with it. When we find a token for his regeneration engine in the bunker TARDIS, we might have a discussion about reincarnating him, but we aren't. So on with the pod. Tonight we discuss the rampage against Arsenal. Yeah, a rampage. Two rampages in a row. We look ahead to another win next Saturday against West Ham. And we're going to have a go at Trev's big words, since you keep asking about Trev. It's all I hear is Trev, Trev, Trev. It's Trev this, Trev that. We're going to round out with Trippers Chats, the five-word version, which we've got some interesting ones coming in this week. So I'm Phil Casey, as you know, because I was on AI's other thing last night, the preview pod. I think I managed to slag off nearly every team in the Premiership. But joining me tonight, of course, is Big Steve Daly. You know him. He's the fellow who sounds like Niall Quinn, but makes a lot more sense and knows a lot more about football. We've got Andy, who's a chef de partie young. Now, normally Andy would be talking about the food, but tonight Steve has brought in these lovely tarts, so we're all looking forward to eating them. We have our competition winner, Matt O'Farrell. He's joining us as well for a debut on the bunker. And sure, if it goes well, we might even ask him back. And Paul Brennan, he was meant to be in reserve for tonight, but just texted me a few minutes ago and said, yeah, we're starting at 8 o'clock. So I said, well, fuck it, you may as well come in. So, and of course, in this crowded bunker, we have our resident stato, Dan Roberts. Dan is here to give us all the big numbers on last night's game. So let's get it on with the football. All right, so let's start talking about the game. Made us feel good, made us feel tingly. Lots to talk about. Another clean sheet in the Emirates, traditionally a place where we don't do well, especially under Rodgers. But let's start up the top. Bobby, Phil and Chris. Andy, what did you think of them? Were you happy with that front three? Did it make you feel warm inside? And well, I'll throw in Milner and Chan as well behind them.
Yeah, look, first half, we created loads and loads of chances. So you know it's going to work. You know it's going to work, especially against the lesser teams. Away in the Emirates, and they create all them chances. It caused havoc. Individual performances, like Coutinho stood out. Benteke was excellent, and Firmino was quite good. But just as a unit, just looked more dangerous, especially in comparison to the last two games. So yeah, happy days.
Good. Paulie.
Yeah.
All right, cheers.
I agree with Andy was going to... I thought it was because sort of a performance where...
Are you listening, Paulie? Are you listening, Paulie?
Blah. Oh, God. Leave
me alone. Whatever. Yeah, I agree with Andy.
I think Paul is still upset that he didn't realise he was on standby tonight. Steve-o.
Yep.
You like a bit of attacking football.
It was great. It was great to watch. I heard a couple of people saying they weren't actually that happy with Firmino, and can't see how you wouldn't have been. He just looked like he wanted to get on the ball and he wanted to go at them and wanted to make things happen. And he's probably the antithesis of what I would... I just thought I'd throw in a Trev big word there for the lads. Of Lallana, though. Well, you know, and I don't want to go on a negative tirade, but I'm just saying if Lallana had been in there, I think our play would have been a little bit slower. I think it would have been a little bit more drawn out, and we wouldn't have had that impetus that we had. So I was delighted to see him in there. Good to see him get whatever, 60, 65 minutes. And I'm loving Benteke. Yeah. I'm loving him. Yeah, I really am now. Like, because I really was saying to everybody, and I said it on here, I didn't think he'd suit our style of play. And you know what? Truthfully, if we'd tried to use him the way he was used by Villa, he probably wouldn't have. Yeah. But he there's clearly more to him than what we saw at Villa, mm-hmm. and we're getting it out of him. And fair play to the scouting team or the manager, whoever it is, that spotted that and saw the potential there.
Because
the committee. I think when Sturridge comes in, he'll create tons of space for Sturridge, and that's been Sturridge's big problem without Suarez around. It was too easy for two centre halves to double up on him and not give him the space. And I think he'd be great, yeah.
Matt, you won the comp to be on.
Yeah,
so,
Matt.
Thanks
for having me.
Did you enjoy the cakes that Steve brought in?
Yeah, really nice, yeah. I wasn't going to go for them, but then I said, I'll fuck it, sure. We'll do one.
Good man. Good man.
They were shy. Yeah. He's just been polite.
How would you know? You should be here.
Get out.
Just leave. Yeah.
But happy enough with that, that attack and play, given the first two games are fairly sterile?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like everybody, I'm kind of... Everybody's interested to see how the new boys fit in. Benteke and Firmino started against Arsenal. So, I mean, the way they kind of interacted with the team now is getting better every time they play. Firmino's first game, he kind of looked a bit, not off the boil, but kind of, he took a while to settle down.
Mm.
He took maybe one or two touches a bit too much, but he kept the ball well and passed. He didn't do a lot of forward passing, but when he got into a forward position, he was like for the Benteke chance, we'll talk about it later. He showed a good bit of quality, and Benteke was linking up well with the rest of the squad. Mm. I think even with Klein coming down the wing, like he bombs on from right back. He was throwing in a few balls from the side as well, so there is a basis there to be hopeful. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks now, there's an international break coming up, but after that now, more games, more kind of cohesion, I think is the word.
Yeah. So look, we're talking about the attacking side, but honestly, Paul, you watched it, so what the chances? Coutinho hits the bar twice. Everyone's talked about the one that Cech makes the save, but he also had one that came off the underside of the crossbar. Is it the old fucking woodwork starting to appear again? Because we've hit the bar as well in the previous matches.
Ah, well, I was happy enough with the way we attacked, especially in the first half. It does become a problem if you keep hitting the bar. We saw that happening under Kenny, where it just got to, what the fuck are you having? it just got to ridiculous levels, and it was obviously sort of it was obviously affecting the players. It was a psychological thing. So as long as that doesn't happen again, then I think I'll be fairly happy enough.
Yeah.
And for me, I thought he did. I thought he showed a lot of promise, but it was probably a bit of a Luis Garcia game for him, where I thought he was quite promising and all, but he probably lost the ball more than anyone on either team. So I was happy enough, and hopefully we will start burying chances, because we've made a good start, but that's obviously been the slight weak point. We haven't scored enough goals.
Yeah, I don't know, Andy. The first one that comes back off the underside of the crossbar. The build up was lovely, wasn't it? Like it was a real. From Milner, anyway, because I thought Milner was great last night. He was fucking on Monday night. He was everywhere.
Yeah, no, I think Milner's been excellent since he's come in. And there's no one really singing his praise. Everyone wants to see loads of Firmino. We're all going on about Big Joe Gomez. So I suppose a good thing that somebody's playing really well that's come into the side. No one's talking about it because everybody that's come into the team is playing well. So yeah, no, it's excellent. Like he's blended in. It's like he's been around for years, Milner, and he's linking up well. Seems to get on with all the players, and it's fucking excellent.
Well, especially given he was captain for the night as well. Yeah. With Henderson not there, like it was a real. Well, no, it was even when the Mignolet was being told to hurry up by the referee.
Yeah,
Milner goes straight away. He's in the ref's ears. He's going back to talk to Mignolet as well.
Plenty of experience. It's a bit of a waste of career from Milner, really. Like he'd so much more to offer football, and at the age he is now, he's finally getting kind of regular football in the top side. So
it is good to see that cohesion. As you said, like Milner plays the ball down, Benteke. He just doesn't try to do a stupid shot from the edge of the box. He's aware of Coutinho's run.
Like, he'll do that.
Let's rhyme off a list now.
Rhymes of fallow telly.
It's not just, I don't know. Like, you kind of felt like you were, this is the season now when we start enjoying watching Liverpool again. Like, early on in that. Early on in the first few minutes of the game, it didn't feel like we were going to get the ball. And then as we came into it, and start creating all the chances. It was just, there's something here.
Mm.
So, yeah, exactly. Another moment they seen Milner was calming down Klein and Skirtle, who were a bit, like, we were on edge at the start. Mm.
Absolutely.
and it seemed to, you know, seemed to help. He was, I mean, that was well.
I think he's just an excellent pro, isn't he? He's just come in there and he's been, yeah, he is a steady head. He's been around different dressing rooms. He's gone through league winning campaigns.
What are you trying to say? Europe, he's gone through dressing rooms.
Sneaks around. he's seen them all, big ones, small ones. Bushes, no bushes, you know. There's nothing gonna shock. There's nothing gonna shock Jimmy Milner if you whip down your shorts. So he's seen it all, you know. But getting back to actually non-penis analogies. No, I think he's been excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
We're going back to Benteke. The chance he misses. There's a lot of big balls in that there. But going back to Benteke, like the chance he misses.
Yeah.
First of all, the build up, I think, I can't remember who.
The one straight at Czech.
Yeah, yeah, the one straight.
The Firmino ball across the face. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The whole build up and that, like, it's pressure. It's the sort of what you'd expect from what we wanted from a Rodgers team, let's say, right? High pressure up the park.
It's press.
Exactly. Wins the ball, and the ball from Firmino is really intelligent.
It's perfect. It's perfect. And you know what? He does that not 8-9 more times, and it's in the goal. I don't think it's a Balotelli versus QPR moment at all. And I know we are going to draw those comparisons, whether people like it or not. That's going to be drawn. He is seen as the replacement. He is what Balotelli was meant to be last year, as the foil for Sturridge. Now Sturridge got injured anyway, so it's immaterial. But what I'm saying is, I don't think we're going to have that problem with him. I don't see that problem with him. Okay. He probably should have put it into the roof of the net and not given Czech a chance. You ask him to do it 6-7 more times, he's going to score more than he's going to miss, I think, in that situation. And it's a decent save as well from Czech.
Decent save. It's a fucking great save. It's a great save.
I was trying to play it down, Andy. I don't want to give him too much credit. It is a brilliant save.
You know, well, look, it's the only chance he has a save, and he fucks himself over, you know, into that corner. And like, I see a lot of people saying that a top striker buries that into the roof of the net. They're doing their bollocks. Any striker in that position is just is getting as much contact as that as they don't fluff
as they can. They don't want to put it over the bar.
And you send a goal bound, and chances are from 4 yards out, it's going out. Yeah. Czech dives in the right place.
Hang on a second. Aguero is probably the fourth best striker in the world at the moment, after Suarez, Ronaldo, and Messi. And you look at the amount of chances he missed against Chelsea before he finally scored his goal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So you get this shite about top striker would have done this. Top striker. No, I don't agree with that.
Czech was showed experience there. Like he was brave. It was like the old Czech. Yeah, he dives at his feet.
I had a fucking great game.
You know, he's only a split second to do it. And
like, if it's not for Czech, we're home and hosed by half time, and they're going in 3-0 down at half time, fucked. You know what I mean? Like they're not coming back out to they don't have that in them, Arsenal. You know what I mean? They're not coming back out to get a 3-3 or win out of it. That's game over.
The only worrying thing about that miss is that he did something similar at the end of the game against Bournemouth. But then again, like he's getting better. His all-round game is confident.
Is that the one he's talking about hitting the bar?
Yeah.
I don't think he did the same thing. I think what's happened there is because he got so much contact on it against Bournemouth, he tries to just get something on it to put it in rather than actually fucking smash it. That's my honest opinion.
I don't think it's a long-term concern, really.
No.
Like, because he's getting better game on game. He was better against Bournemouth than he was against Stoke, and he was better against Arsenal again.
Even if he takes him a while to get going, like, he's not on it. Streak of goals, he's still like very, very effective.
Well, the way I look at it is, if he scores against West Ham, he's still got a 1-2 record.
He's
doing everything else 100%. Well, there's a few odd passes here and there, but everything else, he's holding the ball up fantastically well.
Yeah,
laying it off, and he has a few. You know, when the ball goes up to him, and he flashes the ball back, and it might go to an opposition player. Well, usually he finds a zone player.
I think if we didn't have as many fucking gobshites out there trying to make a point that, you know, Balotelli missed chances like that, so why are we giving Benteke a fucking, you know, why are we giving him an easy ride because
he's not a cunt.
I don't even think it's. I think the difference is, you know, we'd seen a consistent run of games where Balotelli consistently missed those chances, right? Mm-hmm. If we were 8 or 9 games in and Benteke was still on 1 or 2 goals and had missed a fucking sack full of chances like that, you'd be saying to yourself, hang on a second, there's something wrong here in terms of the finishing.
He scores a good goal on his second game for the club.
I still think that Balotelli wouldn't do the hold-up play like Benteke does. That's why I think we give him a bit of leeway if he's not scoring bags of goals straight away.
But Balotelli's dropping in 30 yards. And I thought, when we were under a bit of the cosh against Bournemouth, I thought his... willingness to come back and try and hold up the ball and steady the ship. There was a little bit where he took it on the he took it on his chest over on I suppose our left wing, about the halfway line, took it on his chest, flicked it over their head, flicked it again and played it off about 75, 80 minutes into the match. And I just thought, that's absolutely excellent. That's what you want your centre forward doing.
There's no point in
when we're under the cosh, him up there occupying two centre halves. He's come in, made himself a nuisance, got on the ball, laid it off to our player, and we spread the ball the other side of the pitch and takes the heat off.
Okay, just one last thing from the the sort of key real attacking movements and moments in the game. And we'll get on to Moreno later on, because that's a different movement than a moment in the game. But the... We talked about Cech's number of saves that he made throughout the game, even one from Firmino. But the one that he saves off Coutinho, that he pushes onto the post, the little touch that goes onto it. First bit I want to say is the Bellerin. What Coutinho does to Bellerin is just outrageous. Paul, would you retire from football if you're a Bellerin? Would you just be thinking to yourself, I'm heading Enrique's way at this stage?
Well, he's probably still in a coma. He's like, probably still has fucking vertigo or something. Like, by the time Coutinho struck the shot, Bellerin was about 6 yards away from him, facing the other way. Like, it was ridiculous. And he just kind of like, when Cech touches it onto the post, I was watching Coutinho and Bellerin. Obviously, Coutinho's fucking distraught that Cech saved it. But Bellerin just kind of stands there for a couple of seconds and walks off as if, like, what the fuck just happened? Like, as, I don't know, as if he's just been woken up after being probed with the arse by a fucking alien or something like that. It was ridiculous. It was by far the best moment in the match, apart from Mignolet getting booked for time wasting about 70 minutes in.
Steve-O, did Bellerin remind you of a Jack Russell chasing his tail?
No, listen, Bellerin's a decent player. I think we just had a lot of good movement on the night, and Bellerin didn't have his best game either. You know what I mean? A lot of people bang on about him being amazing. I can see maybe Debussy taking that place off his. Yeah, I can. Like, I like Debussy. I think he's a very good player. And I was sad when, well, not sad, it's probably a, I don't think I got too
upset. You were sad today though.
I was very sad when I heard Illarimendi but it's gone back to Sociedad. Anyway. He's gone back home. Come back home.
Real Sociedad family club.
Listen, we tore him apart on the night. It's just that simple. Our attacking movement was good enough to do it, and Coutinho absolutely deserved a goal for the piece of play that he pulled out.
It's not touch his left foot.
It was.
Like, little tap back.
It's just, no, I'm gone there. How am I missing?
Right. Matt, a bit of a curate's egg. Some people loved him, some people hated him. Emre Can, what did you make of him?
Sorry, Matt, just for 1 second.
Go on.
A bit of a what?
A curate's egg.
Yeah, what?
What's that?
The fuck's that?
Just a saying.
I know what you mean, but what does that word mean?
What does a curate mean?
Yeah.
It's like a fella who works in a church or chapel. No,
a curate's egg.
Yeah.
That's fine. I thought it was some sort of German phrase you were using.
No.
Curate's egg.
Kurzeig?
like Liebskrieg. Kurzeig.
Kurzeig.
I still don't know what's going on. Thank fuck he's asking someone else this question.
I like eggs.
I prefer the Scotch ones myself than the Kurzeig.
Back to Matt. Sorry, Matt.
No. Some people like them, some people don't like them, the Kurzeig. So that's what it is. It's
like, cool. I heard M.A. Chan. I like M.A. Chan. I love him. I think he's got a lot. In the next couple of years now, he has to kick on and show consistently what he has. Like, at the moment, he does have a lot of power. He has good passing ability. He can run two or three times any other player on the pitch. And he just has an air of class about him. Whatever, even if he gives the ball away, he does it with class. Like, he's that good. Like, to me, like, he's that good. Has a bit like if you're having that one player sitting in front of the defence, I don't know if he can do it at the moment, where if he follows the game, when we don't have the ball, for him to kind of shield the defence, as in to walk, as the ball goes to the left or right, he follows the ball. I think he might get a bit lost sometimes, and he's very hard to, takes a while for him to turn around when the ball does go by him. But I think if we play him consistently and play the right players around him, I think he can be one of our best players in a long, long time.
Steve-O, you weren't happy with him initially. Thought he grew into the game.
I did. I think he probably started out a little bit deeper than he finished up, if the way I read it was right. What I'd say is there are still those moments when he just looks like a lazy bastard.
He looks very tired.
Sometimes the play is breaking and you're just looking going, come on, Emre, make those extra 15 yards back. You can have your breather then. And he's just like, nah, fuck it. The boys will get it. You know, and listen, I really do like him as a player. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to look at everything he does and say it's amazing just because it's him. I'm trying to look at him objectively and say, where is he going to fit in his best position? I still want to see that tree of him, Henderson and Milner. I'm really hoping that Henderson is back by the time the United game comes around. Is there any hope of him being back for West Ham?
No, they said bring him back.
Yeah, I think so too, because if you bring him back then you give him to England as well then. Whereas if you leave him out of the West Ham game, he doesn't go on international duty and he's back for the United game. And you want him back for the United game because they are going to be strong in the middle of the park as well. And that's where I want to see him, Chan and Milner.
I suppose, Andy, my take on him was that I thought initially he sort of was trying to adjust to another position again. Like, I suppose he's probably a victim of his own versatility in one way, because he's come on now, even this season, he's played in three different positions in midfield and different setups that are there. Yeah. And every time he still puts in a performance. It mightn't be yet a 10 out of 10 performance, but he's putting in sevens all the time. Do you know what I mean? You know he's going to put in a performance for you. And I did think that something Steve had touched on, he seemed to be more encouraged to be that sort of real attacking midfielder for us ultimately from, say, about 20, 25 minutes on, and he looked really good in that position. Do you think that potentially, you know, we've talked about the midfield and the capability to move around, and you've seen Milner drop in as the deepest player in the second half of the match when Lucas goes off and Roster was playing alongside him. Is Chan being more groomed now as a box-to-box midfielder, you know, as is him and Henderson maybe in beside Milner, or sort of just that they can all move around and play those roles if needs be?
It's hard to know. Like, he just needs games. He's a type of player now, it's quite obvious, he needs games, he needs minutes, he just needs to keep playing football and he has to be in that team week in, week out. He has to be in the team. Now, I don't know. My impression last season was that Rodgers doesn't really trust him as a holding midfielder, because he does tend to let a player go once they're passing. And I think it's because he knows he hasn't got this bit. He hasn't got this pace over the first 5 yards, but he's wasting his time to try and track back. So anytime he was playing right back, they were gone.
It's
like fucking Homestar and Morris. If he's a box to box midfielder, well then he's going to have that time to track back, isn't he? Because the player is going to be ultimately slowed down, and you know the other midfielders are going to do their job, and he's going to get back around because he's full of energy, and once he's gone, he's as quick as anybody. So what was your original question?
What did you think of Skirtle?
can he be a box to box? Yeah, I mean, we've kind of got three box-to-box midfielders.
That's the worry, isn't it?
That's the problem. You know? So, you know, you have to make that call. If he's going to hold, then you're going to have to say to him, well, then you're not to be bombing on forward, you know.
I think
unless the opportunity's there, you know, just go on and someone's going to cover for you. But then you're losing a load of Chan. You're losing a lot of his talent, and he's good going forward. He has I reckon he's got a goal threatening him and everything else. So,
Paul, what did you think?
The idea we'll talk, because this is going to be a wonderful point.
I was going to say that I think Rodgers mentioned a couple of times now about being a controlling midfielder. So on Monday night we had to change things because of the injury. Lucas is coming in. There's only one place you can play Lucas in that three, so he has to put Chan into that box to box role, same as Milner, and to do a lot of the running. And yes, it's probably a more tiresome role. He is still behind in fitness compared to the other lads. I think maybe Rodgers' idea in the long run is not to have a DM, a defensive midfielder. As we said, he's looking for the interchangeability between those three midfielders, but I can see Chan being the deepest of the three, shall we say, and being the one, as Rodgers has said a couple of times now, the one that's going to dictate the tempo. Because
I know Henderson has a good range of passing, but I think if in terms of quality and the ability to spread a ball much quicker, I think Chan sees it.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing about Chan is he looks for a forward pass. He's not interested in pinging it to Klein and to Gomez or whoever every time. He is looking for that ball into Benteke's feet. He is looking for that run of Sturridge. He's looking for Coutinho to drop into the hole. And I think that's what we will eventually, hopefully, get from the three of them is that you get that boundless energy from Milner and Henderson and from Chan as well. But he'll do a little bit more of the
puppet master stuff. Runs and makes that pass.
Yeah. Just swats two fuckers out of his way. He's just like, get out of my way. Now the pass is on.
I still think that box to box is going to be his best role for us. I don't really see him. I think what you saw glimpses of last night where, you know, he gets going and he's like a train that's not going to be stopped.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if he's sitting right in front of the defence, I think that plays into, you know, his weaknesses really, because
people like, bypass him.
Yeah, they're like that first couple of yards, he is deathly slow over. Mm. Like, it's like watching Charlie Adam trying to get going, sort of.
But he actually gets going.
When he does get going, it's like watching Yaya Toure or something like running. But it's those first few yards. And I don't think he's like a great reader of the game defensively either. So I think we're kind of wasting him there, really. Mm. You are looking, like, he is a decent passer. And you'd be looking for him to kind of up his consistency in that respect. Though, if you were going to plonk him there, I still think that he's probably our most promising box to box midfielder.
Right. Look, we'll keep Lucas until the West Ham game in as part of the preview, because we don't want to waste him all the time on talking about the midfield. And we've talked loads about the Kurt Zeig of Emmeridge. But onto the defence. Fullbacks again, lads. You know, we've had a fucking multitude of incredibly geek fullbacks for fucking centuries at this stage, right? So, you know, Gomez is the one that's getting all the plaudits at the moment. But for me, I think Cloyne is a fantastic fullback.
Andy? Yeah, Cloyne had the better game, in my opinion. Now, I think people on Twitter and that were just giving Gomez a lot of credit because it's so surprising how amazing this fella is. Like, he's not even a left back.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And already he's looked the best left back in the league. Like, all these stats that lads be firing up. He's the best fucking left back in the league so far, like, in three games. So, Cloyne has been amazing, and he's been what Johnson's supposed to be.
Yeah,
we are discussing this anyway. Yeah. He is what Johnson was imagined.
It's what the blind people used to tell us Johnson does. Yeah.
To be fair, lads, there was a season or two when Johnson was good for us. You know what I mean? Like, there was.
He was never as good as the Cloyne.
Not defensively.
He's just so fucking nippy, Cloyne.
You have to remember, before he got a burger addiction, there was a point whereby Henderson used to be making those balls in between the centre half and the fullback. And Johnson was going into them. He was. It happened.
It was. Henderson
was there.
Johnson was a great attacking fullback option, right?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But couldn't defend for shit. And then he stopped being an attacking option as well.
Yeah. But Cloyne is so switched on. When we lose the ball, he switched on.
The way we want to play and the way he presses so quickly is...
No, I think he let Ramsey in behind him, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was
offside.
There was a couple of other instances, but... Like, I always, you know, the few times I would have watched other teams last year and watched Southampton, Cloyne was good, but you're watching him as an opposite, as a team that he's not playing for you, so you think of this fella's quality. Now, when you start dissecting his game, you're going to start pulling out little flaws. No player, even Chelsea, will fucking take Hazard apart sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what fans do. But he is as good as we get.
He could be our right foot for fucking years now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what age he even is, but he could be around for a long time.
He's 25 or something.
He's a hairy 25 year old. He looks about 40.
Paul, Big Joe Gomez. There's an eruption of fucking happiness about Big Joe Gomez. I'm going to say something controversial here because I tend to.
Here we go. Yeah, go on.
Don't like you, Phil.
He's prone to a bit of a dodgy pass every now and then.
He is. That's probably the one criticism you'd have of him. It's a bit like, you know, it's like Sacco does it as well, where you're kind of thinking, will he just get rid of that? But he wants to try and pass it into somebody. He tries to do something clever. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of his errors come from. I kind of watched, you know, the Arsenal game. I thought he was brilliant all game, except a good few times when he had the ball. I think a few passes put us into trouble. And he has done that in a few of the other games as well. But defensively, it's ridiculous to see. Like his reading of the game, his physicality, the interceptions, the amount of interceptions him and Cloyne have put in over the course of the season, it's probably more than our fullbacks did last year all year.
Mm.
It's ridiculous. I'm absolutely delighted with him, as you may have noticed.
Do you think the passing's because he's on the wrong side of the pitch?
It could be,
because he sometimes has to take that little touch to get it back onto his right.
It could be,
and that half second that avenue closes down, so you won't be able to get a good
I think it's a bit of a decision-making thing as well, yeah. where sometimes you are just going to have to get rid of it. And I think it's sometimes he thinks, oh, no, like, I'm Barese here. I'll be fast now anyway.
But again, he's 18. He's going to learn a lot. Like,
exactly.
If he's playing the way he plays now, he should be good.
Listen, at the end of the day, he's an 18-year-old centre-half who played a bit of right-back, but now playing left-back for 25 games under his belt.
Yeah.
He's going to fuck stuff up. You know what I mean? He's going to have bad games. And we have to be prepared that when he has a bad game, to nearly stick with him for another game after. He doesn't need to be chopped straight away.
But look, my only point was purely around the tendency to he's always trying to play an inside pass more so than, say, down the line, which is naturally enough because he wants to get it back onto his right foot, which is, you know, is more comfortable on. But you can't really argue with his overall gameplay. He's been very, very good.
We love to get carried away as Liverpool fans.
Of course.
Like, you know, straight away when Sterling left, it was going to be Sterling. Like, he was going to be better than Sterling, 10 times better than Sterling, way more than Sterling.
But even pundits are coming out and saying that.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, I remember in January when I was coming back, and I just couldn't really get the hype, you know, because I don't see enough in Oib. Yeah, but Gomez to me, like, I'm well on this fucking train.
Like, no, I'm with you on
this
that,
fella.
Andy.
Like, I just cannot believe it's almost like fake that this is happening, that this fella comes into the team at 18, and like this time last year, he wasn't even breaking into the Charlton first team. So, like, it just doesn't seem right.
It's amazing that Charlton team didn't get up, given they had Coquelin as well for half a season.
Well, they didn't play together, actually. They were saying that during the match the other night. They didn't actually play together. I think Coquelin was recalled in December or January time, and only at that point did Gomez start to get into the side. Yeah, yeah. But what was I going to say there?
No. You said it there.
Oh, no, it was Ibe. You were talking about Ibe there. Like, I don't think Ibe, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think Ibe has a huge amount in his locker.
No.
You know what I mean by that? I don't think if dragging it back to the left and then smacking it to the right to go past the fullback doesn't work, then they just mop it up off him every time.
Yeah, I think that'll come with time. So far, I'm saying more Ryan Babel than I am.
Yeah, with no end product. He can't.
The only thing
I haven't seen him deliver one good ball in
Steve, the only thing I'd say around Ibe is that if you remember Sterling after he'd broken into the team for half a season the previous year and he came into it, he struggled when he got in that second season. If you think, like, Ibe is following the same path now, the real question mark is that Sterling was able to go up a level again. We all expect him to go out on loan that Christmas. Do you remember we were saying that likely he's going to get games?
That was the whole match he came back for, I think.
Exactly, right? And from there on, his level of it went up again. So it's probably going to suit Ibe to not be forced choice.
Yeah,
to get games under his belt in the League Cup and in the Europa League, right? Where he's going to be able to build some confidence, build some, you know, momentum in his own game. Yeah. And then when he comes back in, he can look to explode.
I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying we as Liverpool fans and the media as a whole needs to realise he's nowhere near ready yet by the looks of things. Now, maybe he'll explode in a few games' time and just really step it up a level. But I don't see it happening this season, to be honest with you. And I think
things like decision making and especially what he does off the ball as well. Like, at the moment, he is kind of limited to getting it into his feet and trying to beat players. Like, he's not picking out passes and he's not doing much off. Like, he's not doing much running off the ball. And that's just, I think we're coming on against Arsenal when we were sort of sitting back. Like, I don't think it was a great match for him to come into, to be honest. Like, especially when he has those flaws in his game.
Well, it's not helped by the fact, like, if you looked at him against Bournemouth, I know we're going off topic now, like, he wasn't going at the defence. Like, Rodgers hasn't let the shackles off that team. He doesn't want them losing the ball. Doesn't want them losing the ball anywhere in the pitch. So, you could see Ibe hadn't got his normal instinct to just put a pass to the player and go wide or go past them. So it's probably bad to kind of judge him on the two and the big games he's played so far.
Yeah, I'm not so much judging him on that. I'm talking about all the hype from last season as well, when he was playing a different position.
My point is, like, he's not fucking an amazing player yet. Like, he's not, but, and I haven't seen enough evidence, but I'm not knocking what he's done so far this season, because I'm not going on that. Like, I'm not going on this.
My biggest worry is his final ball.
Yeah.
That's the thing I see, that he doesn't seem to be able to pick out a ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's worrying.
Listen, I did want to focus on Gomez and Cloyne here, because, you know, I think they are immense additions to the fucking team. But we are on Ibe. I'll tell you what, right? I'm not going to talk about the centre-backs, because I'm fucking pain in my arse listening about the centre-backs, like, Skirtle and Lovren, right? Another fucking clean sheet.
You don't like Skirtle. That's why you don't want to talk about him.
Well, we have to talk about
okay, I'll tell you what.
Fucking central partnership that's kept three.
Lovren played very well. Skirtle was a fucking abomination. position up until that accidental clearance.
He fucking was, right? Because that
9 times out of 10 that ends up in his own net. You can even see Lovren grabbing his face when you see his Skirtle stretching for the ball.
It was very Skirtle. You know.
And in the first half, when Arsenal were having their little spell, Skirtle had no breeze how to clear the ball. Do you remember the fucking mix up between Miller and himself?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think half that was Miller.
In the first 10 minutes.
Milner nearly called
Skirtle and fuck then, off.
Yeah. There was two Martin Skirtle moments. The time that he got booked and the time where he just like him and Milner just looking at the ball, like, now you kick that. They were the two Martin Skirtle moments. There was half a Skirtle moment where he stuck his boot at that cross and nearly scored an own goal. Other than that, I thought he did well.
And he came off the line now and bollocked him out over that zone. That's something you're not seeing a lot. We haven't seen a lot.
Let's be honest. We've got a central defensive partnership now where it's starting to look like they're working as a unit.
Yeah.
Okay. We've kept 3 clean sheets and a very tough one in Arsenal away. Right? Yeah. Not many teams will go with.
But that's why I don't really want to dwell on it, because the whole
you don't have to dwell on it. And every time we talk about the central defensive situation, we tend to be talking about it in a negative fashion. So for a couple of minutes, we can at least spend talking about the fact that we've now.
But I'm just going to edit it out. talk away, because I'm going to edit it out.
It's fine.
And I'm going to edit it out.
That's okay. I'm recording it on my iPhone.
That's great. That's
great. Massive.
But I suppose the reason why I didn't want to labour on them is because we haven't touched on Mignolet at all since the season started, right? Mm. And I think he's doing an awful lot of very good things.
Yeah.
But I am concerned that he's starting to flap at crosses. Mm. Now, the one thing, at the end of last season, he'd become very commanding on crosses and was, you know, going out and winning them. And, there was a couple of occasions where he came on against Arsenal, particularly that one right at the end where the final whistle went for it and he gets nowhere near it. Mm. And you're thinking to yourself, come on, Simon, don't start fucking heading down this track again, because we can't afford to put Bogdan on the bench. You know what I mean?
I don't think he's going that much of a worry.
It's the new ball.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's mesmerised by how good it looks.
Yeah. It depends on what colour it's coming in as.
It's there, it's gone.
What is this sorcery?
It was coming in white.
He's grand.
It was coming in red.
Bollocks. he's no hope of ever playing a snowy match. You know, when you have that just all red ball, forget about it.
What is the ball going to look like when it's winter?
It's in, they have a fucking fluorescent yellow part where the white is. And red. Yeah. Oh, it's geek. I swear to God, it's awful.
We haven't really defended with a high line as such yet this season.
Mm.
We've kind of defended with a medium line. You know what I mean? We haven't been camped back, because that never works for us anyway. But it's been, they haven't really gone to the point where the defence are pushed on and really forced.
And maybe they're not going to. Yeah. Maybe they feel there's enough energy in the middle of the park.
Rodgers, if they keep winning,
he's not going to change.
But if they were getting away results like that and they were winning at home and they were only getting 1-0, so Rodgers isn't going to change. Fuck all.
Yeah.
No.
Fucking barrel up now, like.
Mm. Not just that, but he's probably looking at the legs that are in the middle of the park and the fullbacks that he has and saying, I don't need my defence as high as it would have been in the past to maybe press the opposition.
Yeah.
Maybe he feels that the legs are there to enable them to go and press and still recover if they're passed around or whatever else, you know, and that might allow him to have a different defensive line to what he would have in the past, where he's trying to push on the halfway line so that his team can pin the opposition in.
Yeah. Okay, just to close it out, just a couple of light things to touch on. The offside goal, clearly offside. Anyone disagree?
I don't think it was.
not clearly.
It's not clearly offside.
It's like, not clearly onside.
Brendan said it was.
Gunter's joke saying that the jersey was on.
But it was offside.
It was offside.
What?
No, he said the jersey was offside.
The jersey was offside.
Yeah,
obviously. The jersey was offside. There was a part of the players that was offside.
And there's more of Skirtle's arse keeping him onside, if you want to look at it that way as well. It's a human error.
It's not like the fucking linesman or system referee, whatever they call them now, has made a huge fantastic.
And that's why there's no massive.
But I think there's still a case there for that being offside.
The Lucas penalty.
That's true. That was Giroud filming the referee. He starts to go down because he
No, this Rubin, is the, this, no, this is the one. Lucas stamped on his foot.
Oh, sorry, you're talking about. Sorry, I thought.
Is this the one where
Lucas fell?
Giroud gets the shot away.
No.
Giroud was coming back out of the box, basically, yeah, with the ball,
and Lucas
going
just stood
nowhere,
him.
And Lucas just flew in.
About 27 seconds later, he was taken off. No,
he got caught in the ball outside the box about 2 minutes before or after, and he got taken off.
A couple of messages.
Ramsey's goal definitely should have stood, and I'm delighted with that, because we're going to be sitting here enough times this season pissing and moaning about fucking linesmen disallowing our goal. So just enjoy it when it goes your way.
The other one then, Benteke, that was a penalty against Benteke.
All day long.
Yeah. But was it Gary Neville?
I think Gary Neville
comes in on him.
No, it was
Gabriel held him down.
Oh, that's absolutely a penalty. Yeah. Who was the tackle from Coughlin on?
Coutinho, wasn't it?
Yeah, he sort of takes as much foot as he does
the ball.
He got Benteke as well. Yeah. And he didn't touch the ball at all when he went.
I'll be honest though, I think he was man of the match.
I think
he was that little bit ahead of anybody we had. If you look at, I was looking and saying, who do I think of our players was man of the match? I think without Coughlin, they would have been buried the other night.
Think we could do with him? Or something like him, absolutely.
But, I mean, he'd get in our midfield without question.
I think it's odd
that we've nearly sold Lucas, isn't it? Yeah. And I'm sorry, do you want to talk about that later? Did you?
No, that's just
your normal face.
Moving on.
No, like I think it's odd that we'd bring Lucas into a game that big after like one injury.
And then.
Like be on the cusp of selling them as well.
Well, if Joe Allen is fit, Lucas is never getting in that team.
I don't see how Joe Allen can do Lucas's job in a match like that, though.
I don't think he would have been. I think he would have seen Emre Can in where Lucas and not playing a defensive midfielder and trying to play Allen on the right hand side to do Hendo's role.
But would that go as well as last night?
No, because Allen's not very good. Yeah, it would.
It kind of worries me to think that saved us. Obviously, like you probably have a great time
in
Turkey. No, it is worrying that Rodgers has maybe made a decision based on that.
Mm.
I'd be slagging fans, like Liverpool fans, kind of living on a kind of a game to game thing. Like, so as soon as one game is over, it's forgotten, and you know, someone has a good game, all of a sudden they're a great player, someone has a bad game, they kind of tend to forget they could run a farm. So, like, that changed nothing about Lucas to me. I know what Lucas can do. Mm-hmm. I know what Lucas can do for about 60 minutes in a game.
And then he goes.
And you know that he's got to crop up throughout the season and put in performances like that. So I don't know how that kind of convinced the masses on Twitter to put the hashtag Save Lucas.
It wasn't a hashtag.
Phil Thompson was at it. I think it might have been more so the fact that maybe who Rodgers wanted to bring in
Bezitas came out and said that the fee was too much or some shit. So the deal broke down. It was definitely happening. And now on the back of that fucking game, Rodgers has gone full LFC family Twitter and made his mind up on that. Like that kind of worries me, you know.
Right, two good bits of crack. Roster getting his debut. He looked about 10 years younger than Joe Gomez, even though Gomez is younger than him.
He looked younger than the last time we seen him.
Maybe he's a bit like Trev.
Dead. Trev's dead, baby.
Benjamin Rossiter.
And so this week's Moreno watch. Mad as ever.
Yeah. Like,
very Enrique, though.
I think he's coming on to get game time because Rodgers is maybe worried about keeping Gomez in that team long term. I think that could be one of the reasons behind it, that if he has to put him in, he doesn't want him to be four or five games in with no game time at all. It's one of the only reasons I can see why he's coming on. Well, there is other reasons there. At the end of both games, when we've been under a little bit of pressure, he's come on to give Gomez a bit of extra defensive cover. But, you know, you would think that Origi or Ings would be coming on there onto that left hand side as a replacement for Firmino. You know what I mean?
I think Rodgers, like, it was a very Rodgers thing to do. Like, he came on and it worked a charm.
Brendan Rodgers football genius move.
It was like he came on and it was a great one you know, against Bournemouth, everyone said, oh, that was fucking brilliant. No, like, well, they great, done a great job. So he thinks, I'll repeat that.
That was penciled in for 75 minutes, regardless of what was happening in the match.
That was,
he had the alarm set on his phone.
Bring
on Moreno. Put a swipe on
the idea list.
His little
pass.
Yeah, he came on at 65 minutes and he snoozed it for 10 minutes.
But in fairness, it nearly was. That run he goes on.
Yeah.
Like he is good for a run like that.
There's a fucking there was a strong case to play him from the start on the left, you know, ahead of Gomez against Arsenal.
Mm.
You know, from
so, you were really backing that one.
Well, I don't know who made it. Someone had the idea, and I said, "Fucking hell, that's a great idea. I'm stealing that one." So now, but what a bit. There was a strong case for it. Now Gomez started the season there basically on merit, and he showed great character. But no, he was like, obviously Roger sees him as, you know, a better defensive fullback. So as Rogers has started the last three seasons now fairly defensive and just trying not to ship goals, he started Gomez, but Gomez has done so well now, so Moreno's going to struggle to get back in the team. But I've no doubt that Moreno is going to basically get back in eventually and make his spot.
Okay right, we've talked that to set. West Ham.
Harsh.
West Ham, no Fat Sam and no Downing. That's a relief. You know, Bilic, ex Toffee, and also did us with Besiktas last year in the Europa League. So, what do we think of this game? I personally, West Ham is one of these shit teams that I fucking hate playing against. So, you know, that's not going to change. Matt, start with you. Any thoughts on West Ham? Do you like them? Don't you like them? Are you forever blowing bubbles every now and then?
I used to like them. The old Pelle de Canio type of era, I liked them. But now with Big Sam last season, I hate them. Absolutely hate them. But they've been a bit funny this year as well. They beat Arsenal the first game of the season. And then I think the next two they lost, is it? Or drew?
They lost at home to Leicester and then they lost at home to Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, yeah. And the Bournemouth, I think, Cresswell down the left or down the right if you're attacking them, he's been a bit dodgy in the last couple of games. I think he's been at fault for nearly all the goals.
I think he's out for this game.
Is he?
They've had five sending offs and they're five.
Have they got sent off in the last game?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, they haven't been up to much and they have no forwards as well. Carroll's not back. I think they sold Maiga or whatever his name is.
No, they've held off on the Maiga deal.
Because they have nobody else.
Well, yeah, Sacco is doubtful and Valencia is definitely out as well.
And Zarate is gone as well.
Yeah.
So I'll be distraught if we don't smash these all over the park.
We should, really.
I don't know where that Arsenal result has come from that they got in the first game. Because, remember Bournemouth's problem
against
us.
It was an Arsenal first day of the season job.
Bournemouth's problem against us was that they just didn't get many chances at all. They didn't carve out many chances. And then they wiped the floor with West Ham in West Ham's backyard. And I would be distraught if we don't smash these around. I think this should be the game where we've started improving attacking-wise without scoring many goals. This should be the game where we nail three or four past them, I think.
Firmino's first goal.
So we're not
Benteke brace.
Don't really fear them.
It's that natural reaction to fear a draw against West Ham or them sneaking something off you, but the reality of it says we shouldn't fear them.
Well, in fairness, talking to the West Ham fan Sam last night, he was saying the
Fat Sam.
No, he was talking to the Daily Mail.
Phil.
he was saying that he's really fearful because of their fullbacks. They aren't the quickest on the turn or anything like that, and he's scared what Firmino and Coutinho could do up against them. You know, coming inside. Just turned them inside out, and obviously with the two fullbacks getting on down at the outside of them, and then Benteke in the centre. So that was what he was saying. I wasn't paying attention for some of it as well.
Who are they playing centre half at the moment?
Tompkins.
I think you were saying Tompkins is going to be playing right back because Cresswell is out.
Oh God, Coutinho against Tompkins.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Stephen Lee. We get that out on Twitter.
So anyway,
what have they got in the middle of the park at the minute? His Song isn't going to be fit.
I think it's Reece Oxford, isn't it? The young fella.
Yeah, he got destroyed against Bournemouth, didn't he?
Noble, and I don't know, Poyet is playing for them as well.
Poyet is a decent player, but
yeah. So, look, I agree with you, Paul. I think we should smash them.
Yeah, I'm thinking a Steve-O prediction of 3-0.
Don't be jumping ahead. But just coming back to us, right? So, would you change anything from the Arsenal game?
No, I wouldn't. The only option is to take Lucas out and try and do something different, whereby you put Chan in there along with Milner and Coutinho, and then you free up. We haven't seen a bit of Markovic. Mm. I wouldn't mind seeing a bit of Markovic. Mm. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind seeing him go one side, Firmino the other side of Benteke.
And drop Coutinho back into the midfield.
I'm not saying we have to do it. I'm saying if we wanted to, I think it probably makes sense to go out the way we started the game.
There isn't a hope, right? It's changing, you know.
No, of course not. I'm just saying it for the sake of being different. And if you were going to do something different, you could drop Lucas, play Milner, Chan, and Coutinho in the middle, and play someone like Markovic up higher, or Ings. Mm. Give Ings a run, alongside.
Definitely start giving these boys minutes, some.
Well, it's going to happen soon enough because the Carling Cup's going to kick off, or whatever the fuck it's called these days, Capital One.
Rumble
up. The Milk Cup is going to be started fairly soon, and then you're going to have Europa League as well, and there will be plenty of minutes then. We'd be delighted to see that.
We'll be slightly concerned if we don't score at least 2 goals.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, because we're starting to see a trend then. That teams will start seeing Liverpool as
if you can hold them
a
out.
Team that can only score an odd goal in the game, and then they're going to set up like that, and it's just going to make games disgusting. So we have to be seen as a dangerous team again, and now 4 games to maybe only score 3 goals, we're starting to think, fuck, you know. So it's a game at home against a team that have fucking lot of a lot of goals in so far. So if they don't score 2-3 goals, I don't even mind concede that first goal.
Yeah.
Because we've only conceded, 8 shots on target in 3 games. That's fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So if we do concede our first goal, and we're going to be
that's something, Paul. Just on that, Paul, right? Because it's something that's happened in previous seasons where we've gotten a decent run of games, decent defensive run of games, and then all of a sudden we concede 1 goal. Instead of conceding 1 goal, we concede 2 goals for then a series of games afterwards. Would you almost like to see us concede a goal to see if we can just hold it at 1?
No! No, but listen, I'm fairly confident. I don't think it's not luck that we haven't conceded, basically. It seems to be a whole new approach to the way we're defending. And it's given us a great base in games where, if your attack is misfiring, you're not just going to concede 6 fucking clear goal scoring opportunities per match. You can at least shut them out, but we do need to build on it, and I think we will. I think we're going to smash these around.
Steve-O.
I actually wasn't doing anything there, so
no, we'll do that.
Oh, no. Hey, all you see is on the eyes.
Serious
paranoid balance. Go on anyway, yeah.
So,
you were saying.
Do you reckon? Do we need to score goals to this?
Do we need to? No. Would it be nice to see? Yeah, it would. Just for confidence, you're going on to the international break. Your next game is against United. You don't want to be thinking, as Andy said, the odd goal here and there. Because United are in the same sort of situation at the moment. I've no idea. They were 1-0 up last time I saw it tonight. But before that, they've struggled themselves in front of goal. And Rooney's broken his duck there tonight in the Europa or in the fucking Champions League qualifying. I mean, but what I'm saying is you really do want to be maybe putting 2 or 3 past West Ham at the weekend just to have the tails up for when we go in against... Yeah. United. There's a way, isn't it? It's at Old Trafford.
Yeah. It is.
We've ground out a few results. West Ham, I think, when you look at our October fixtures, that's going to be a bastard of a month for us. So I think West Ham is a good chance to kind of springboard forward now, get a few goals scored going into the Old Trafford game. Then I think we've 2 home games in a row then after that we can win.
Mm.
And then we're into October. So yeah, I think it's now that we start to need to start for, make sure we're scoring goals, we're playing well going into this period of games, because I just think October's going to be a fucking arsehole of a month for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about the first 9 games being really, really horrible. When we saw the fixture list come out, I think that's what everybody said. The first 8 or the first 9 are disgusting in terms of the way they set up. If we can go into United game with 10 points in the bag from our first 4 games, We'll be second in the league. There's no question about that. We'll be second in the league, barring City being turned over in the next match. Who I don't know. I don't know who they're playing off the top of my head. But you know what I mean? That's a great way to go into that game, because yet again it puts you in a situation like we were in at Arsenal, where you can come out of the United game, if you get a draw, you see it as a really good result. You know what I mean? And you come away from that going into two home games then.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, look, I won't bother doing the lineups because we all reckon it's going to be the same team that played against Arsenal. Yeah. So start predictions. Matt?
3-1.
To us?
Yeah.
All right. Andy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I don't think we can go four games without conceding. So we'll concede a goal and then put three past them, hopefully.
Okay, dokie. Well,
4-0, I reckon.
4-0. Nice, Steve.
3-0.
I still reckon it'll be a tight 1-0. That's just because I reckon it's going to be a title.
That's fair enough.
We're playing now, so
more than entitled to your opinion.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Hello, this is Ronnie Whelan here, and you're listening to Tripper Chats. Unbelievable stuff. You ask me anything about Liverpool FC, I will answer it immediately. I'm an encyclopedia. As you know, I played for Liverpool in the 1980s, won many trophies, played with the likes of Kenny Dalglish, Graeme Souness. Oh, we were what a team we were. We were just unbelievable. Anyway, Tripper Chats.
Fucking right then, so Trev's big word game.
Okay.
Yeah, just in memory of Trev, who's now dead a couple of weeks and people can't accept it. Don't worry, lads, he's all still in the second stage morning. But anyway, notice tolerance. It's the realisation that the plot of your life doesn't make sense to you anymore. So, Stephen, have you ever suffered from notice tolerance?
Can't say I have.
No?
The realisation...
that the plot of your life doesn't make sense anymore.
No.
No?
No, I can't say I have. No. I think... Still on track at the minute.
Good man, good man. Paul,
is your life going anywhere, do you think?
It's an interesting question.
You've accomplished a lot. You just feel like
you've done it now.
No, I don't know. Maybe I'll just tell
myself. Start enjoying your life, you know.
I'm contemplating retire. Well, I'm going to retire at 40. So
nice. Maybe about a year to go.
No, 7. Mm-hmm. 6.5, 7.
So no?
No.
No. Andy? Ever had any moments where you felt the plot of your life doesn't make sense anymore?
No.
Paul, 7:30 tonight when you were asking what time you're starting. Were you suffering from notice tolerance?
Fucking wanker. You and your stealth messages, the second text sneaking in.
Always look for the second text. That's a life lesson learned there. Right then, so Steve-O,
yes.
Nick Wall asks, do gherkins belong in burgers?
Absolutely no.
No?
No.
Not a gherkin fan?
Well, see, I'm a plain burger man.
Right.
So, you know, there's only a select number of things we'll get on a burger, like bacon, onions, no mayonnaise. The mayonnaise has no place on a burger. It's the devil's cum. And gherkins are the devil's Mickey.
Chopped up, sliced up into
meal-sized proportions.
Yeah.
So now
it's a bit weird, like the way, like, it's McDonald's especially, like of all the unhealthy cunts out there, decided to put a gherkin on a burger. Makes no sense.
Yep.
Makes no sense.
I think pickles are a big American thing, and McDonald's burgers weren't always unhealthy. They were just another one burger joint place.
Yeah.
And that burger then evolved into what we have nowadays. So
that was their thing, the construction
of the really finely diced onions and the gherkin with the mustard and the ketchup was their gig. That's why people like that.
So I don't think the gherkin adds anything to it. I can get the diced up onion and the mustard and all that shit. I can get that. Actually, I don't get the bun in the middle. There's a third bun in the middle, isn't it?
For a Big Mac, that is. But the gherkins aren't on Big Macs, are they? I've never had a Big Mac.
And they're in that sauce as well, aren't they?
I like the quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah.
But they've got big onions on it. So you can get rid of the big onions real easy.
Getcha.
There's food that you don't like, but, like, you know, if someone else likes it, then that's fair enough. And then there's stuff like gherkins and burgers.
Pointless.
Where you're thinking, who the fuck does that? And why are enough people eating it? Yeah. That these places keep doing.
My sister loves the gherkin on a burger.
Jeez.
I'm not just going to say my sister loves the gherkin and leave it at that, because once she does, don't really loves need to go gherkin. Into that. But she'll if anybody takes the gherkins off their burger, and she'll be like, oh, give me them.
Yeah, but there was always a freak in the gang that did that.
Yeah. Do you reckon they do it just to be cool?
Oh yeah, I think the gherkin lover. I think they can stomach it.
They do it.
They do it.
Just to look cool.
Because, like, you know.
Because when you're 12, you look like a mad bastard.
McDonald's might say, fucking hell, look at that mad bastard there in your sister's case, mad cunt.
Right.
Andy, Nutella, discuss.
Disgraceful substance altogether.
What?
Yeah, I don't like nuts.
What?
No.
Just no nuts at all?
No.
What?
Would you like, like salted peanuts or anything? No.
What part that I don't like nuts.
Oh, they're not very nutty.
I hate most nuts, but I like peanuts for
actually,
some reason.
Actually, you know what? You know the way they ground up almonds and make marzipan out? I like that.
Right.
So you mix enough sugar with nuts.
What about like,
sugary nuts?
Do you not like peanut butter then, no?
No, I don't like nuts.
What about nuts and chocolate?
Do you know what
I mean? Andy, you're almost like the reverse of the cheese man, or no nuts man. And then you said you liked almonds and marzipan.
My only mate who loved those fucking dry roasted peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd be getting packets after packets. And then the pub we used to drink in, they did the big bags in them. And he'd be sitting there like just going, oh, loads more dry roasted peanuts. If he wants a peanut, I'd never be fucking wolfing them out of it. And he'd be going to me, do you want one? And every week, like, no. I don't want it. I don't like nuts. I told you that last week, man. Like, I don't like nuts. No. I don't like nuts. But these are different nuts. These are dry roast. They're not the same. So, no, I like salt. Salt gummy chips, no problem. Yeah.
Salt isn't the bit that I don't like in salted peanuts.
Can I revert back to it? I don't like the nutty part. Whether you dry roast them, wet roast them, fucking put them in it. I don't want your dry roasted peanuts. Would you not try one? Just, and here you'd be breaking one in half. Just try that little bit. Are you allergic to them? No, I'm not allergic to them.
I just don't like them.
Go on, just bite and then swallow it. I can just see it. So, no.
I think he was hoping you were allergic and you're going to anaphylactic shock.
No.
So you're disgusting. I love Nutella.
And it's enough of any, like a peanut or any, yeah. I'd be like, wretched straight away. It's like if I had a cold onion, like an uncooked onion.
Kills you.
Yeah. Disgusting. You know the way you get some freaks put them in egg mayonnaise?
Oh, well, I don't eat egg mayonnaise because the mayonnaise bit.
Yeah.
What about chili mayonnaise?
Would you like chili mayonnaise?
Would you try a bit?
You can barely taste it.
I have serious issues now. If I said to someone in a deli counter, is there running in that egg mayonnaise? No, there fucking was. And they looked at me. And sometimes, like, on the deli counters,
you're gone.
The same, yeah, but they use the same fucking spatulas and different. So quite often, an onion will sneak.
Yeah.
So it might not be actually egg mayonnaise with onion.
It'd just be a rogue onion.
And she's being as, like, honest as. So I'd be very, very, very cross with someone if they made me a cold one.
Yeah. But again, back to the Nutella, like, it's fucking brilliant. Ferrero Rocher are one of the finest chocolates ever made. They're fantastic. Like, you've got nutty chocolate on the outside, then you've got wafer, then you've got a big round blob of Nutella, and then you've got a hazelnut in the middle of it. What is not to like?
Again, and you know
the nuts.
Nuts. If you're Andy, it's nuts.
Sorry. Would you not just try a bit?
You'll barely taste them, I promise.
Yeah. I don't get white chocolate spread, though.
No, I've never.
What, you don't like white chocolate spread?
No.
How does anyone not like white chocolate? It's amazing.
It's the worst kind of chocolate.
White chocolate?
Yeah.
It's lovely.
I've gone nearly the opposite way. I love milk chocolate, but I'm actually going the opposite way now. I'm eating like 70-80% dark chocolate.
Mm. Yeah, well, some of those are the gourmet chocolates you get now. Like, they might be a bit of chili or something.
Oh, the chili one is lovely.
Oh, no, they're not nice. Even just plain.
They're not full on the old Lindt Orange Intense.
Have you had that? The Lindt Orange Intense, very nice.
Little bits of jelly orange.
Yeah, it's really, that's good.
No, there's lots of lovely chocolates, and they're proper chocolates. They're not like Cadbury's the way
they're not
fake chocolate.
Yeah.
No, the box.
I know what you're saying. The cocoa solids.
A bit of a problem calling their product chocolate.
All right.
Recently, because like the world fucking
chocolate organization
had to say that a chocolate
has to have a certain amount of milk solids, or what is it?
A certain amount of cocoa.
They're in trouble with the chocolate.
Cocoa solids.
I don't know what the crack is, but they have to change the recipe. Or
to chocolate.
Some of their bars don't say chocolate, or they might say very.
Like,
I don't know.
Turco chuck?
anyway. White chocolate's amazing.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Yeah. Like, I'll eat it, but it's third on my list.
My trip, you put me onto a good white chocolate in Lidl or Aldi, if anyone's.
Is it that Swiss one?
It's just our white chocolate. They right. do.
Aldi our, white.
Yeah.
Aldi white. Would you still have an old Milky Bar? Like, you're not a snob.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. yeah, big time.
But I like a Milky Bar every now and again.
The best one is like when people give me a fella white buttons. Like, we don't really give them chocolate. Like, you might get. Like, there'd be a bag of buttons in the fridge a week, like, and then I'd be sneaking them. Like,
yeah, you tell the relatives, oh, he loves white buttons.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, and when Easter, you know.
He's also a big fan of spice bags. Do you want a spice bag?
Amazing. Amazing.
Here's a question that question? I'm going to ask. Fuck people. Calling in or whatever else.
What I was about to ask, could Seagal take on a wrestler
exactly.
or something?
So this is why my fucking question is better. What's people's opinions of spice bags?
Huh?
I haven't had one.
You ever had one?
Yeah.
You don't seem too impressed.
Nah. Not for me.
What's your thoughts? Like, because I've not had one. I'm going to break my spice bag.
Are all
bag.
Spice bags the same?
No. This I'm learning in the last week or so, yeah.
What's in it?
It's salt and chili chips.
You know,
chicken.
Like if you get salt and chili chicken wings.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the same basis of that, but there's chips and chunks of chicken in there.
Like, shown in the bag.
Yeah, all mixed in and seasoned. So it's all seasoned together.
Yeah. Well, then in that case, I have had them, but not out of a bag.
Right, out of a tray.
Out of a tray.
So you've had a spice tray. Spicy tin.
A spice tin. Yeah. My local
Chinese spice bag.
Does
spicy tin. Long tray.
Yeah. But I don't really go for the Chinese anymore.
Yeah, I haven't had Chinese in ages. But I'm going to break it for the spice bag with me.
All right.
My big dog, Joe Walsh, is going to bring me to the Sunflower.
The Sunflower?
In
for spice bag?
In Orwell.
He says he
reckons it's one of the best spice bags in Dublin. So, yeah. I've said.
It doesn't sound appealing, though.
Hey, listen. I don't argue with the big dog.
Well, fair enough. Right, this one. Dream guest on the pod for you.
That's a tough one now out of the blue.
In bunker or on
in the bunker?
Swipe?
In the bunker.
That's been Nina.
Andy loves a bit of Nina.
Andy loves Nina.
Or to Nina.
To Nina. To Nina.
But Andy's is Nina. Paul? No one? All wankers?
Nah, couldn't give a rat's really.
Blah. Paul is our Hendrick, isn't he?
Yeah.
John Barnes, maybe.
John Barnes.
Yeah, John Barnes is a great shout as well.
Yeah. Jason McAteer.
He was called crack when he was on.
In case we want to get him back on again. So ask again.
Jason McAteer.
Right, so Jason McAteer is the dream guest.
Barnsley or Rafa Benitez, just through their knowledge of the game and they're quite articulate, and I think they'd be, you know, a counterbalance to our complete bollocks.
Dean Corso asks, baby boy due end of October, can't decide the name. So Paul, what do you want to call the baby?
Who gives a rat's?
That's a good name.
Anfield Red.
Anfield Red?
Yeah.
What
happened to Anfield Ernie?
What the fuck is that?
Anfield Ernie.
Anfield Ernie was the old mascot. Now
yeah,
we have
that was
Mighty
like
Red.
The thing on the pencil cases and all that. That wasn't a real thing. It was
that
just
was
a
when
draw
what's that poor fella?
That was like you say a fake mascot, was it?
Yeah, that was a drawn, like just an imaginary character. But what we have,
he
now,
was a bird.
Could you show a bit of sensitivity when you're breaking it to Steve? This person exists.
I still have that pencil case.
Well, all we have now was Linda's idea, wasn't it?
Mighty Red.
Yeah.
I think so.
She wanted that.
But she'll get the blame anyway. Like, it's probably the committee.
No one should blame Linda.
Yeah, she wanted that. She thought that that's what they, you know,
the kids
fan
are
base needed, would appreciate.
What's wrong with
a fucking mascot? Who cares?
Not Mighty Red for the kids' name then.
I was mixing Anfield Ernie and Mighty Red together.
What do we call him? Mighty Ernie?
No. Anfield Red.
Look, the whole question is, your man said what his second name is because it's got
Corso.
His second name.
The last one then. Pronounce the word donkey correctly.
Is it because people say donkey and fucking stuff like that?
I don't know. I've only ever heard it pronounced
donkey.
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 Donkey. Donkey. Or is it meant to be like a... I don't know.
No, no. You know the donkey joke?
Donkey?
You know the donkey joke?
No.
This fella goes into a bar, his mate sits down, walks up to the bar and he says, can I have a pint for me and a pint for donkey? Farmer goes, all right, fair enough. Hands him 2 pints, sits down, comes back up a few more minutes. Another one for me and one for donkey. Barman's, yeah, okay, fair enough. So, grand job, sits down, drinks the pints and he heads off for a piss. And up comes donkey to the bar. And he says, can I have 2 pints, please? And he goes, yeah, no problem, no problem. He says, don't mind me asking, pal. Last couple of times your mate came up to the bar there, he says he was asking for a pint for him and a pint for donkey. What's the story there? Why does he call you donkey? The man goes, always calls me that.
Desperate.
Flag.
We leave it there, so. Yeah.
We don't.
Sexy, sexy admin with a bit of funk spiced in.
Hey, yo, funky trip on me.
Oh yeah, funky trip, babies. Got a big shout out to the Astro Park tonight for having us. Let us in here, let us wreck the shop as ever. Get down here, play your five-a-side football, have fun and join us if you can on a Wednesday night. We've got our five times competition coming up and it's going to be me singing in a cabaret style, aka Vic and Bob, and you've got to guess what that tune is. That will be out at the weekend when I get around to recording it. Of course, we are Liverpool. Be on sale at the ground this Saturday. Get on down, bite them off Neil Poole and his comrades. That'll be somewhere around the ground. £1.50. It won't go astray. You won't go wrong. You get a great read, especially if the game's a little bit boring.
Mr. Please, lay your funky trip on me.
Your big funky trippers tonight, well, of course, Mr. Big Steve O'Daly, the biggest man in the house. There is the Shanna Key, the man who tells the stories, Andy Young. We have super sub Paul Brennan, who came off the bench even though he wasn't asked to. Of course, we had a competition winner, Matt O'Farrell. Well done, mate. That was a great entrance that you had. And it was, of course, myself hosting, Phil Casey. Trev's not here. Trev won't be back. Get over it. Deal with it. Lay that funky trip on me.
That's what I hope it did. That's what I was talking about earlier on. Someone was suggesting that Rodgers was leaking
the team.
Rodgers leaking the team. Imagine
that was it was Rodgers that would leak the team to the press.
Rodgers leaks the team.
Surely he could just announce his team earlier. You know,
without having to leak.
We're going to cause this. Going to call this press conference to leak the team to all of you.
Hello, I'm Curry.
Is that
they
you, Brendan?
They obviously trying to sell Balotelli.
Yeah.
And they think that Rodgers has gone to leak to the press that he's acting a flute in training to get his value even lower, to get his stock even lower. Like, there's some people that they're just mad. Like, they don't step back and just look at what they're saying and what they're typing and just proof it before they actually say it.
I don't think I've ever seen it like that before, though. Like, you know, where stories have come out about
character.
Where stories have come out about a player being a wanker in training and people getting angry at anyone other than the player. Mm. Like, if someone said to you, next week there's a story breaking about Emre Can, apparently he doesn't train, he doesn't give a bollocks in training, he's walking around eating burgers on the training pitch, you'd go, Chan's a wanker. You wouldn't go, well, I like Chan, so I can't believe Rodgers is leaking that story about Emre Can.
I can't believe he makes him go out and get his own burgers. If he was any sort of manager, he'd have a burger van there.
Ryan Babel?
Yeah, that's an outrageous thing to happen. Why did Ryan Babel block me, like...
Because he was running the fucking fish finger campaign, fish finger sandwich campaign.
Yeah. No, but the team go and go and block settings, block. Like, it's stupid.
What about Mew?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect, because sometimes you follow someone and they're just going through a bit of a bad spell on Twitter. They're coming out with a bit of shit, so you don't want to unfollow them. You just mute them for a week or two. See that when you check in a week or two, are they well again? Or you can unfollow them, but block. And I'm now blocking you out of my cyber life.